Like sometimes less is better, but less is never more.
No, it's never more.
And what's irritating about that phrase is it's not like more is worse is a difficult concept to get your head around.
No.
I
More
don't think
pain,
it needs.
very simple.
More genocide. Worse.
Worse.
More diarrhea.
Worse. More insert youth band we shouldn't like here. Worse.
Oh, probably bloody.
Oh, I'd say
I'd say
probably.
that's what the kids like, not
What
for
are
us
they like
though.
these days?
I
I
don't get it.
swear to God, I was having a conversation at work today with a colleague, and he was talking about Oasis, and he's like, "Oh, you know, is there ever going to be another Oasis? Like, who's the big band today? Like, My Chemical Romance, is it?"
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah,
Like, I mean, yeah, that's the big band today, I'm fairly sure.
yeah, yeah. You should get yourself a My Chemical Romance t-shirt to show how cool you are, Jer.
Gav, you're aware that I have multiple My Chemical Romance t-shirts, and I don't thank you for your I don't
Yeah,
thank you
but
for your
but when
jive.
you wear them, they're cool, Jack.
Yeah, when you do it, it's
Because
cool.
there's nothing like sincerity to make something cool.
That you know what? I that might be a joke, but
No,
sincerity
it's
is
not.
cool. Sincerity
Sincerity
is
is
cool.
cool. It's not a joke.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
people
mean
are
that's
like,
why
oh.
Hitler was so popular.
Yeah.
He believed it.
I
Say what you
would say
will,
he
he
didn't
lived
believe her at
everywhere.
all. You think he loved that dog?
He fucking went. That might be the only one he didn't kill. I mean, he didn't even shoot the dog at the end, did he? I mean, the dog went on to lead the West Germany for most of the late 20th
Yeah.
century, I think. Yeah, that was
It's greatest ever leader. Yep.
it did only have it was a toss up between the dog and Helmut Kohl, and I gotta tell you, it wasn't much of a toss up.
Yeah.
Well.
Angela Merkel, of course, for you Merkel movers out there, she was the 21st century, so that's why we didn't bring her in there, as was her predecessor and former mentor Gerhard Schröder.
Yeah,
Yeah. Oh
exactly. You
yeah.
didn't think we'd forget the real Merc with the mouth.
The real Merkel. Nor did you think we'd forget their incoming prime minister? No, not Olaf Scholz, but the new one, because AfD had a big electoral victory. I don't know if
They
you.
did, yeah. And I could categorically say the next one is not going to be the best one. What
Hitler
slobbering
too.
racist have they managed to put forward?
Actually, the reason why they had success now, where they haven't had before, was they actually got one that doesn't drool. I think was the
Oh,
ugh,
that was
because
a smart
the strategy.
secret. Yeah.
The High Committee were sitting there going, "I don't understand why my electoral culture, Mr. Nixon, please." We talked about that before on this podcast, and it's a point that I think has been well taken by the masses. You know that like that oft brought up factoid, which is, when Kennedy and Nixon had their debate, those listening on the radio actually thought Nixon won, but those who were watching the television were of the impression that Kennedy had won. And the lesson we're supposed to take is that the fickle appearance riddled youth of the generation were only concerned with the facade of Kennedy. We're saying no, they could see what a shifty fucking cunt
Yeah,
Nixon
yeah, yeah,
was.
yeah, yeah. The
I
people
don't
on
think
the
it takes
radio couldn't
the
see the air quotes around love America.
Yeah, I don't think it's really on like the youth to be like, I just don't think somebody who's flop sweating while sitting down is really my guy.
is ready for the high intensity role of the highest
Yeah.
court, the highest role in the land.
Yeah,
I
that
mean,
seems
what
like the most powerful man in the world right there. That's what we want.
the
Sweating, sitting down.
I mean, I like a good sweat when I'm sitting. There's nothing quite like going a little spicier than you should have on a burrito and then being like, oh God.
But you get into it, man. You do it right.
Yeah, when you
Okay.
do it, it's cute.
It's true. I forgot that one and most important rule of all such things. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the final countdown. You're still here after last week, which is good. I'm glad to hear
Make
it.
a
I'm
huge amount of
glad.
sense, but here we are.
No, it's kind of fun. Are My Chemical Romance cooler now than they were when they were out? Like they were kind of lame, right? And I mean, they were no less good or bad at music, but from people of our, like, maybe I'm just slightly older, it's like, oh, well, they're not like when we were, they're not like the real rock and roll, they're too pretty or something.
I do think yeah, people were like, oh, they wear all these silly things, and they're like, people were like, they're
emo, not like a band like Kiss. That's a band you can set your watch.
Yeah, dude. I want real rock and rollers like David Bowie.
Yeah. Well, that was, it was them. I certainly, like, I remember not liking Fall Out Boy for no reason.
Yeah.
I remember liking
their songs, but not liking them.
Yeah. Why don't you like them? I don't know.
I sure like singing along to their music when it's played in the club.
Yeah.
Like, I got furious at a list of guitarists that listed John Mayer, like, super high on it. And I was like, fuck it, John Mayer. Ugh, what a, he's not good at, like, he's, I thought of it. He's so fucking good. Amazing at guitar. What am I talking about?
Yeah, he's incredible.
So good at guitar.
He's got Steal Your Girl energy, so I didn't like him.
Yeah. And trust me, he stole a lot of girls.
Hell yeah.
Are My Chemical Romance cooler now? Maybe. Like, no. I would say no. Because, like, are Gen Z into My Chemical Romance?
No, they're not. You're right.
Like, that's not as rhetorical as you might think. I don't know. They might be.
Is that what makes something cool? If the kids like it?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, like, we don't matter. Like, on November 21st, I age out of the most important advertising demographic. And as a person in a capitalist society, I cease to fucking be. I'll just fade away like a picture of Marty McFly.
Do you think that your ads are going to get real weird?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I'm entering the cheapo ad bracket.
Yeah.
Just everything's breaking down, and you just want to say, you just want things to be comfortable, but they never will be. Tampons, not just for women anymore.
I am fully expecting it to be like, on the day that my birthday changes, for it to be like, cool roller coasters. This is one for you, Gavin, to like Daddy's Musk. Like,
yeah, a lot of ads for like buggies.
Yeah.
If you entered the perpetual cycle of I wouldn't call it youth, but perpetual unadulthood of being just a problem substance abuser, you're in a good advertising bracket forever until you die, because they can always sell you some more slop.
Indeed.
This time it's extra cold.
Like,
about that?
Yeah, I think I would rather age out of like youth culture being advertised at me, rather than be someone who's kind of desperately hanging on to their youth, you know, like,
because it doesn't work.
You. Fuck you, Gav. How dare you say that to my face?
Because no, but there comes a point. You're actually not. You're not there yet. You're just living perhaps a single life at a later age than some people will be.
How dare you say that to my face?
I can't help it. But you're not yet of that age. Like, we all remember the cool parent when we were younger, and like, who were just like, I actually quite like this Akon fellow when it comes to music.
That's, you know, a little bit of me right there.
Because you try to keep up.
You get in here right now. Don't make me smack that.
Yep. Because it is ultimately cooler to, because you can't keep up. You can't. It's not, you haven't got the time or the bandwidth to dedicate to it. But pretending like you do is so lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to get a denim jacket and listen to Creedence Clearwater Revival with your friends.
Yeah.
And talk about how back in your day.
Die.
Exactly. Yeah. And then die. And then die gracefully and have Elvis Costello played at your funeral and not bloody, I don't know, Young Blood. Okay.
The Darkness. I don't want the kids like these days. I believe in a thing called you, Jack. All the while talking about bringing back national service in a way that hints at but doesn't actually claim that you once were in the army. This is what getting old is supposed to be, folks. It's not supposed to be the other thing. The other thing is sad.
The other thing is sad. Speaking of colleagues at the Army, I was just reminded of a colleague of mine in AIB who was in the Army Reserves and like just wouldn't shut up about it. And like,
which again, you will know, to look
it
up,
it wouldn't fill you with fucking confidence.
Nah, it's not like being in the Man United reserves.
It's most certainly not.
It's like, that's pretty good. Like,
yeah. You probably walk into a League One team, you know? Yeah.
It's like, that's fuck. You were like, frankly, that bloke who from your school who had trials at Ipswich. Yeah. Is like, you're like, he was fucking amazing at football.
Yeah.
And he wasn't quite good enough at 14 years old to get into whatever sub academy was going, you know. Probably went back to home farm for a couple of years and then gave it up when his knees went out at 17. Yeah. And he's a legend among your friends.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Army reserve guy, not so much.
Not so much.
But you say he talked about it all the time. It's like, that's what being in the Army reserve is for.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to talk about and explain that really no it really is the training's really this it's the same it's
the same.
It's just part-time
then
but
why do you have
on...
a why do you have a gut Jonathan then why do you have a big fat gut
yeah
it's only a part-time gut that thing comes right off on the two weekends a month I'm telling you
he also seemed to eat exclusively protein.
Oh yeah.
Like and yet had a big fat gut. Like and was young. Like it was like I would say 30, like early 30s. But like it was like okay, his snack beef jerky. His lunch chicken wings. And like
it is hard work to be a heft monster if you really just stick to protein, but with the miracles of Western cuisine, you can do it. It is possible. If
what you need is a life so sedentary that the protein converts into fat that hangs around your waist like an inflatable tube.
And a life so sedentary, a toilet so secluded, and an arse so resilient that you that you can, in fact, be on my 600-pound life on nothing but protein. And God bless you, Jonathan. And God bless you, Jonathan. The Army Reserve. The Army, because it's like, I think we maybe do have it a little bit too far the other way, but we don't want to be like America where we worship with troop worship and stuff.
Absolutely not.
Like, you should sort of hold them in a... They should sort of occupy the space in your mind that bodybuilders do.
Mm.
Where it's like, that's impressive, I'd hate to do it. And that's it. I get it. I don't want to do it. Off you go. If it floats your boat, sir, there you go.
Yeah.
You don't look at Dorian Yates. I'm aging myself now because Dorian Yates.
Oh, what are the kids into these days? I don't know. Ronnie Coleman.
I gotta say, yeah, all like, that's a real way. Like, because everyone does sort of know who the most jacked guys were when they were 13. But,
yeah, it was really important when you were 13.
And here's the thing, I think it's Sebum, but I don't, and that's a hilarious name, that's why I remember it.
It's very funny for a name, because it's like Bum.
Why would
like
he choose C-bum? That? It's definitely not his like full name.
It's
he's
like
Chris, I'll shorten this.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is Sebum, and in fairness, probably got a great arse. Multiple time Mr. Olympia, hilariously delicate voice, like Tyson-esque.
Yeah. I do remember that conversation between I can't remember, we couldn't have been more than like 13 where it's like, who went in a fight, Mike Tyson or Ronnie Coleman?
Obviously,
I mean, Mike Tyson, sure, great punch, but what's he going to do when Ronnie Coleman gets a hold of him with those guns, man? You know, no one cares about core strength. It's all about the arm that's punching you. You know what I mean? And I'd still pay to see it today. If they did that fight,
I'd almost pay more to see it today.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if you want to see Mike Tyson wail on a guy in a wheelchair. I don't know if you want to have that on. I don't know if you want to have that on audio, recorded in
no,
the
you
world.
You probably don't. And the thing is, you probably wouldn't even have to pay Ronnie Coleman that much. You could probably just tell him, yeah, this will get you more jacked. And he'd do it.
And he'd do it. Yeah.
Because, like, he was hobbling, like, for years when he was hobbling around on crutches, he was still like, okay, well, I can move freely for 4 minutes a day, so I'm going to squat 600 pounds during that time. Just had it in him. And he used to say, everyone wants to be a bodybuilder, but nobody wants to lift this heavy damn weight. And I was like, the second part is definitely true, Ronnie. That's, but
and you're making the first part less true every day.
Yeah. Nobody wants to lift this heavy ass weight.
He actually had to stop being a policeman. He was a policeman in his off time, which really was, he had to stop because he was too jacked. They were like, Ronnie, there's no uniform for you. There's no equipment. You can't fit in the police car. What? There's very limited things we can have you do here as Ronnie Coleman, you know?
And we don't want you to not be Ronnie Coleman anymore. But we don't. We live in a pre Terry Crews Brooklyn Nine-Nine era.
Yeah, I gotta think if they were all built like Ronnie Coleman, like there'd be no crime, no police shootings because they wouldn't need their guns. Like you could probably shoot peak Ronnie Coleman and it wouldn't get to anything vital. Like he's wearing an interior bulletproof vest. Like how far could even a high caliber gun get through those pecs? Like.
It's a lot of meat to get through before you get to anything big. Like it's a lot of meat.
Yeah, I mean, we're all pretty. Meaty.
Someone surely tested this, like a MythBusters type thing, or it's like, how jacked would you need to be bulletproof?
I do recall MythBusters testing how far underwater you have to be safe from bullets, and I remember it being like surprisingly not that far underwater that like you could.
It's like 18 inches, you got a pretty good shot.
Yeah, and I think it was like, well, yeah, if you're under a lot of water and they just shoot like directly down, then yeah, it'll get you. But what are the chances that that's what they're doing? They're probably coming in at an angle, and I just remember being surprised by it. They also got a lead balloon to fly, which I have to say was a great use of their fucking time.
Glad that happened.
I think their point was, see, what a stupid phrase, because a lead balloon can in fact under these very specific circumstances sort of float for a second.
Like, haha, we got you.
We got you,
inventor of that idiom who is long, long dead.
Or when they got there, there's that thing where you can only fold a bit of paper so many times. And they were like, actually, if you make a tissue paper and spread it out over an entire football field, you can sort of kind of not really get an extra fold.
Yeah.
Myth busted.
We've already paid for all of these busted animations. We got to use them.
Yeah. Most myths are true.
What are we going to do? Sell them to some sort of band that the kids are into?
And by the end, they were just like, here's an internet video that clearly wasn't real. Could this happen? And then within the first minute of the show, it's like, clearly not. Let's just explode a toilet. But what would happen if we replaced the avocado with a toilet and filled it with dynamite? I mean, would that explode? Chance?
Has anyone tried that yet? No. Well, then it's science.
Yes, it is. I'm going to go, I have a non-alcoholic beer that I'm going to grab out of the freezer. Speak amongst yourselves, gentlemen.
Very good. I'm recording live from the office, so I am drinking a delicious Ribena strawberry, which I actually thought was going to be a little bit rank from what I remember, but Ribena strawberry slaps.
Okay, a couple of things. Dan, look at this working man in his padded insane asylum call room. Love to see it.
Exactly. It's padded so they can't hear me or I can't hear them.
Perfect. The second question I have is, why are they giving you kid ass snacks with your little juice box?
To be honest, the other snacks were all like, I'll be real with you, the sugar-free shit is gone by 10:30. Everybody's on the Coke Zero, everybody's on the Pepsi Max. So all we have left at the end of the day is like an entire fridge full of sugary drinks and then these children's juice boxes, which, you know, at 1.3 grams of whereas I'm not willing to go full fat Coke. So
our office has a no sugar sort of has no sugary stuff. So it's unlimited. I've never seen it run out of Diet Coke. I've never seen it run out of 7-Up Free. And it always has like interesting juices and like smoothies and shit as well, which are obviously like very sugary.
Which are very sugary, but feel healthy. I would love that. And maybe I'll write to facilities to ask, can they do that? Because it's a very clear problem that we all have. Everyone's aware of it.
Yeah.
That, like, we run out of the zero sugar stuff by morning, which means that some people who would probably have the zero sugar, you know, as an afternoon treat, are now having it for fucking breakfast. Like, yeah. Freaks.
Yeah.
We've created a behavior because of our lack of supply.
Yeah, yeah. And then someone's going to look at that and be like, we have a real morning Diet Coke culture here at Link Corp. No one will know it. No one will know where you work because I've anonymized.
No one will know.
Yeah, the what was that famously debauched Christmas party that was videoed and went around the place?
Striker.
Yeah, yeah. Striker is what I'm thinking. I was like, the Striker Christmas party ain't got shit on your Diet Coke for the morning culture.
Okay. I would pay. Fucking
lecherous, horrible behavior. Diet Cokes before 10 a.m.
I would pay $100 to have the video of that guy speed bagging your man's balls as he was braced across his coworker. They've done an incredible job of wiping that stuff off the internet.
They really have.
They fucking have. I would like to find a way to employ the person who did that, because God bless them. I mean, they were also like, just some people just make fucking substance abuse fun. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Like,
yeah.
I've done a lot of shit in terms of like bad things, but I've never had fun like that. Never speedbagged the guy's balls like that in front of me.
No. Was the guy being speedbagged having fun?
I mean, probably not.
Probably not. Probably not at the time or afterwards.
Because you can get a significant portion of your face numbed by just boofing a bunch of coke up it, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't think at any point it numbs the testicles. Unless you... Even if you applied it, I don't think it would work, because it would just numb the skin. The actual bag would be still a lot of pain.
Fucking hell. We mocked the Mythbusters, but where are they when you need them?
and what would happen? And what would happen in particular if we strapped a little dynamite to this problem? Would that make it clearer?
We actually have some leftover dynamite. I don't know anything to do with science we can do with them. Let's just blow up a toilet.
Yeah. You gotta blow up a toilet. Is it? Well, I don't know. No, but for science, can we put that bit, that dummy on it? Will that help? Oh, yeah, yeah. That'll help.
Oh, yeah. That makes God. Science.
Fucking science is the shit out of it, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. So I am, for those of you listening for the beer content, drinking Bitburger 0.0%. And I got, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's bitter and pilsy, I suppose. Yeah, it's fine. This is, I presume, going to be like any of the... This is not a departure into the wonderful and the insane, like the one I had last week. This doesn't massively taste of that. The one thing it doesn't have, noticeably to my mouth anyway, is that sort of sweetness that if you've tried a bunch of non-alcoholic beers, you'll know is always in them. And really kind of the best thing you can do is, I think, what the Tusher last week did, which is sort of go with it and go with like a estery, clovey thing, and to where it just sort of blends in. It's almost impossible to fight against. But this is just very bitter, which is better than tasting like nothing, I suppose. No, yeah, there's that sweet. There's that little sweetie bit. It is in there somewhere.
It's hidden it in there. That's cheeky little.
It's fucking in there.
Like the end of the Gale Talks. It's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet. Oh man, let's go to our Gale Talks reunion. We're gonna meet up in Stevens Green and then not know what to do because we're There's no better confirmation very early in life that it's like most friendships are just the people you're beside in any moment, and that like as soon as it's even remotely inconvenient, you'll never see them again. Then you're a Gale Talks reunion. That was slightly more effort than going down to my mate down the road. So let's never do this again. This isn't going to be like one of those things where we're just friends and holidays we're going to make this one. Has that ever, I put this out to you, the listeners, have you ever met a package holiday friend who you stayed friends with afterwards?
Nope.
I mean, I've tried to do it.
You strike me as the kind of guy who could.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I think you're vastly overestimating at what point in my life did I become comfortable talking to people my own age.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have put you, Gavin, way more in a likely strata to have done. You're way better than either of us. Like, Jack is very good at having a big gang of mates. He's good at that. But you're very good at having a lot of gangs of mates that like don't really interact with each other very much.
Yeah.
And you manage siloed, to stay
siloed, you know, yeah. Different lines of business.
I mean, it kind of is. And that's another, like, maybe you don't put an effort into it and maybe it just comes naturally to you, but I would have to like keep a spreadsheet to do that. I can be a beery sideshow part of a large scene, but I can't be the linchpin. I can't be the guy.
You do need someone to be the social powerhouse. Someone to be the
absolutely.
What's the thing that plants have?
Mitochondria.
They need someone to be the mitochondria of the friend group.
Well, because the Manto of any group can't be. He can't be in charge of figuring out what's fucking happening, or he ceases to be the man, though.
I see.
Yeah.
No true Scotsman.
Precisely. He has to be able to show up to whatever the fuck it is you have planned, far too drunk for the occasion, and be immense fun and then no fun quite quickly. Oh man, remember we went to the fucking the black tie event and he was pissed. Yes, it was quite similar to when we went to the museum and he was pissed. Yes, quite indeed. This was cuter before he was 50, wasn't it? It is a young man's game. Being a big booze hound is a young man's game. Any sort of romantic feeling you might have about the sort of troubadour who goes around and just slaking pints and, you know, doing what it's like, that when that man is 40, it's just like, oh, this is so sad.
Yeah. I feel like my dad has some mates who are still like slanging it booze wise. And kind of getting by grand. I think you need to have the constitution for it, both in terms of how you are when you're drunk, how your body feels when you're drunk, and like all of that, you know, like there is a constitution that allows for it, but it's rare. And the thing is, everyone has that when they're 20.
Yes, everyone. That's true. Yeah.
Like everyone's a legend when they're drunk. Yeah. Everyone like doesn't get hangovers. Everyone like is their best health, blah, blah, blah. And then the body and the mind revolt against it. And you need to come to terms with your new reality.
Yeah, the body does keep the score.
The guys for whom it's not sad, sort of, they made a trade-off somewhere along the line and they did go get a good job.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Thanks, Manus. Dare you?
Because you can't be like, I realized it when I was 30 and my cousins were pestering me to have a birthday party and I was like, I cannot celebrate this. What the fuck are you talking about? Because it's like, you can be 50 and a big brandy hound if you're like a solicitor or whatever. Absolutely. Or whatever. It is not, you cannot be, I'm trying to be a comedian and that guy. past a certain age and have it be anything but fucking sad.
how many law firms, how many accountancy firms, how many consultancy firms have the social partners who have the constitution to be big fat booze hounds that go out with the clients, get them pissed, and like it's the best night of their lives.
Yep, and that's
and they sign on the dotted line the next day. Like, you know, that role exists for people who are able to do it. Yep. I am not one of those people. You are not one of those people. Jack, jury is out.
Jury is out. You need to pack on a few pounds, lose a bit of hair, and then we'll see.
Like, okay, things that are my saving grace. I think I just don't put on weight that easy. And I have at times put on some weight. So saving grace, it turns out I don't do it that easy. I've got a very honest mum. My mother really lets me know when these pants
rains
are
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reins me in. And God, I think no, that's about it. I'm just lucky. maybe the hair gets me away with it. You know what it is? It's actually the complexion is probably doing more work than I give it credit.
That's true. People assume you could be some sort of minority. They don't want to say anything to you. I get it. They're not sure. They're not sure.
That's why I like that J Money fella. I don't know what he is.
He could be. I could project onto him. Yeah. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, Jack. No, your hair and complexion are the human equivalent of a Hawaiian shirt. It's party time.
Now I will say, corporate listeners, before you completely rule out employing me in not that role, but an adjacent role,
that's higher paid.
I in fact award myself the title Silver Saucier, which comes with double the fries money. It's the sort of black ops version of that, where if you've got sort of an awkward client, I'll take them out and get them into some real fucking trouble. You know what I mean? So I bought 2-bit burgers. In the case, the first one was so nice, I needed to have a second one.
Oh, it's
And it is not.
I mean, like, better to be looking at it than looking for it. But
can I throw a curveball at you?
You certainly can.
I also have an alcohol-free beer.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, this is called No Worries Pineapple. And you know what it is?
A jizz nicener.
It's a real jizz flavor enhancer.
Yeah.
So my socks will be Flavor Town all week long.
a cottony wad of crusty flavor.
Oh shit.
Yes, it's actually really tasty. Yeah, it doesn't. It kind of does that thing where it doesn't taste like a beer, so it's better.
Yeah, that is kind of the move. A lot of the time,
yeah,
because the thing that non-alcoholic beer has that say a Coke doesn't, it's certainly not that it's nicer, but you're probably not drinking, well, mind you, to finish my own sentence before I finished it, you're probably not drinking six non-alcoholic beers either without shitting yourself. I was about to say you're not going to drink six Cokes, you know, go drink for drink with your friends who are drinking, but you might do it with alcohol, but don't do it non-alcoholic beers either. You'll cheat yourself.
Yeah. Is that confirmed for all alcoholic beers or just Heineken 00?
I've only confirmed it with 00. I haven't had the balls to confirm it with any other ones. Because you feel pretty stupid when you get caught short for something you did to yourself. And boy, would you feel even stupider when you're like, I wonder if that will happen again if I do this again. You don't come out of that one smelling of anything but your own crapulence. I've got to tell you that much. Although, while on the subject of non-alcoholic beers, I had a point about this. Sorry, yes. I was reading, I pretty much read every blog update that the Beer Nut does. And he occasionally tips into doing non-alcoholic beers. And I think he pretty much always comes to the conclusion that they're really not nice, and that they never quite get beer. They're always flawed, and they don't quite get what.
Yeah, they don't make the pain go away in the same way, you know.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's certainly true. And he's like, but he's like the most open-minded reviewer of all things that I've come across. Like, he's not just. pretty open-minded guy about stuff. So while I doubt he'd be willing to try this experiment, I wonder, maybe he would. I don't know. Because I used to think that about non-alcoholic beers when I was drinking all the time. I was like, this is, why would you ever? It's not as nice. Why would you? When it is instead of a replacement, when it is not instead of a beer, but rather that's your beer, it's very different. You know, to like, you know, so even just like don't drink for like a week or two and then have a non-alcoholic beer and see, does that, I don't know. When I had this conversation with myself on the walk to work this morning, this was going to be a good thing to say, and now it's just this. So
let me try and see if I've got the right end of the stick on this one.
Yeah.
If this is just what you drink, it's fine. If you're comparing it to drugs, of course it's going to be a different fight. And if you're comparing it to sweets, it's going to be a different fight.
Now,
I would argue you can and should compare it to sweets.
Yes.
It's like being like, forcing this dust into me doesn't really have the same kind of buzzy, yappy energy as my cocaine.
Yeah. Because I remember when we had non-alcoholic beer the first time, I think it was like quite early on in the podcast, and we had it, and we all hated it. And I hated it probably more than anyone. It didn't help that we probably got it like shelf temperature out of the shop and didn't bother to refrigerate it. And it like really was disgusting. That is a problem to this day. And in fact, even more so now that they've separated the alcohol, is that because 90% of what non-alcoholic beer is doing in most shops is fucking advertising the alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it, so as a result, they're using that to take it out of the refrigerated area. So it's never fucking cold when you buy it. Which if you're buying it in advance to bring home, fine and dandy. But a lot of the time, that's not what you're doing. You're going to a thing where people are going to be drinking and you're bringing along a couple of non-alcoholics because you don't want to be a fucking imposition. And, you know, but they're warm and they're not nice.
And not all of those things are solvable.
And we've talked about this before as well. People think about shelf temperature. I've always got to say, it's like, yeah, but that's what you really mean when you say that is cellar temperature, which I can sort of get with, you know, maybe. But shelf temperature out of a pub or a shop or whatever is so often like 25 degrees.
But like boiling hot Texas style ginger ale.
Exactly. You know, well, off the shelf, please. Oh, so tea. You want a pot of tea? Yeah. Oh, for a bit of flavor. Oh, you know, fizzy tea. I get it. No, that's fine. Bitburger's not winning any awards for me. This is one of the more well thought of. Just sort of Bitburger as a beer. It's like with Veltines or like, what are the other sort of, or I would have even put in before they changed the recipe. I would have put, what's the fucking beer from Lidl or Aldi? The one that's quite well thought of.
Perlenbacher.
Not the other one. Rheinbacher.
Right, Rheinbacher. Yes.
You know, the sort of like. If you're going to have the quote-unquote lawnmower beer for a lover of beer, that would be the one.
What's a lawnmower beer?
It's kind of a cool lagery, refreshing beer. Oh, after right. One that the you lawn.
Can... Okay, yeah.
You know, and people usually mean like a Budweiser or whatever. Like, you know, it's fine by me. But the type of thing that you might give to a beer aficionado at a barbecue, you know, and they'd be like, oh, that's acceptable, you know. I always had sort of Bitburger and Kronbacher and a few of those like sort of slotted at that on that tier. I've no idea, but to be honest, I don't have an educated enough palate really to tell you if that's a valid slotting or not, but I don't know. This is certainly not worth the $2.80 I paid for it compared to the 50 cent a bottle I could have paid for Perlenbacher non-alcoholic across the road. Although, let me just drink 11 of them just to make sure.
Yeah. you want to shit yourself twice. Interesting.
I got to say, like, I very rarely buy them, but I do occasionally host people who are like DVW, I think, is a real good man for the non-alcos. Like, he drove over to watch a few bits a couple of nights ago, left a few non-alcos in the fridge. And I was like, great. He's done a lot more thinking about this than most other people will. Or he's just like, he'll like go and just pick a few crafty Nalcos off the shelf for his evening. And yeah.
Because
I
most
guess.
people you're gonna know, Jack, who don't drink, are also not gonna drink non-alcos. Because I would presume most of your non-drinking buddies are like wrestlers who aren't gonna just be like, "Well, then I won't drink, but I'll also have the calories too."
It's weird. Like the non, yeah, but they just don't go out. They just don't go out.
That's oh no, they can't. They're too famous from wrestling. If they go out,
Yeah.
it's
And actually, the ones who are famous from wrestling go at like fucking trains.
What's the fucking point? Because what's the fucking point of being famous from wrestling if you're not going out to a
Absolutely. You're not in it for the love of the game.
fuck no, you're in it for the love of the rats, baby. And the snakes, for that
A
matter.
fair few of those in this town.
In
A lot of
this
rats and
fucking
snakes in this
town,
town.
man. Can't talk about it here, but if you give me a DM, we can really run the rule over this kip, which I'm fed up with. Fucking wish I was in fucking Torremolinos again. That's the real me. I fucking live for those 2 weeks a year. Oh, I fucking sneak a bag of cocaine from Dublin up my bum over there for some reason. As if I can't get terrible cocaine over there.
Yeah.
What about the plane? What about on the plane? I can't be getting sniffed off my face on the plane if I don't put some up my bum in Dublin.
And many of you will argue that that does lead to me smelling more than my fair share of my own shite, but it's worth it.
Listen, if you're honest with yourself, you've sat in bed of a Sunday morning savoring your farts under the bloody covers, haven't you? I'm cutting out the middle man.
The implication here is that the bed or there's another person's farts or that the
I've
bed is the
forgotten what
middleman.
the point of
Me
any of
too.
this was.
Okay, I just wasn't sure who the middleman was in that one. I think it was the
Don't
sheeps.
know. I've just had a cool lager-ish swallow of something, so this is sort of two drink in the pub level talk we're having now, but I'm still coherent enough so that you can sort of understand it.
Oh. Can I just totally left field with something which is time
Please
sensitive?
do. That's what the whole point of this is. I've
Cool.
been spinning my wheel for a while here, so yeah.
I'm gonna head out west either this evening or first thing tomorrow morning, and it's for a family weekend where we are cooking lobster.
Really? Lobster?
Specifically, me and Ruby are cooking lobster.
Interesting.
For everyone, we're cooking like eight or nine lobsters. Have any of the review ever cooked lobster before and know how to do that? Because I've heard,
Nope.
okay, yeah, a lot of people had a lot of opinions. They're like, oh, you should freeze it first. It's about the humane killing of the lobster. I have little interest in that element of
No,
that
the re I,
the
the only
humanest way to kill it is to jam a knife in its brain.
Yeah.
That's yeah, okay, yeah, that's how I was taught by my grandmother, and that's how we finished her off as well. They bury you face up so no one can see the spinal column.
The most important thing, because my ma actually did used to cook lobster when we were growing up, which just really marked us out as very odd on our road, but she did, she would do it
You are
regularly.
one step above smoked salmon socialists. You are
Fucking
lobster
right, we're a lobster
socialists.
socialist. And I believe
Nothing too good for the working man.
the key is about 48 hours before you're about to cook them, you kill them and then you just leave them out in the sun. that allows the natural flavor.
Sun dried lobster.
Yeah, it dries
Yeah,
them
you will
out
be
in a
amazed how
natural
delicious the parasites get.
a very humane way to dry them out in the sun like that, you know. And then just sort of and then just serve them in their own juices, I think is
Yeah.
it's sort of like eating, it's sort of like oysters, you know. You should just serve them in their own juices and they go
Yeah.
great with a pint of Guinness. Two part pour, split the jaw. Two part pour is the important thing, and leave the lobsters in the sun.
That sounds like a great that sounds great. We've got a plan.
And now
Yeah.
what I'll tell you,
Now,
what I'll
Jack.
also tell you, Jack, is they may seem like they're, and I will let Gavin speak after this, but I just need to warn you this. people may seem like they're getting violently ill after they eat mm-hmm. the lobsters prepared in that way. It's just gas escaping.
Yeah.
They're fine.
If I could give a more serious suggestion, Jack, I think you should cook the lobsters thermidor. That's the best way to cook them, I've
cook
heard.
Cook them thermidor.
Yep. Cook them thermidor. Just make sure they're thermidor.
I have also considered the thermidor option, which does seem pretty baller.
Yeah. But then you got to get a thermidor machine and how often are you going to use that?
This is why I brought it up, Gav. I was going to ask if I could borrow yours and Joyce's thermidor.
Yeah, yeah. Just swing by before you head down west, yeah.
You've got a cigar. Now, don't cook them humidor unless you want to ruin somebody's cigars. Because you'd think, I mean, that would be a battle of pungent, nobody asked for them aromas. Gone off lobster and obnoxious cigar smoke.
Yeah, that is some billionaire bullshit right there. Lobster humidor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That could be fun. You can have some lobster. You can have a good old fashioned lobster bake out west.
Yeah, yeah. We used to do it every. We used to do one every year with the whole gang. We decided we were going to kick that tradition back off.
Very nice.
So we're doing lobster.
You're doing lobster. Love it.
Where are you getting the stirs? Where are you getting them from?
Fucking down the road, man.
That's right. Tesco Pier Street.
Yeah. They've got the whole tank out front and you can pick them out. We're getting them from a lad on the island. But there is an oyster farm at the bottom of the hill, which we have been permitted to take as many oysters as we want, which sounds insane.
Nice.
So
they're best fresh out of the ground, the oysters, I believe.
I think they are.
Yeah, they're a really nice. They're, as root vegetables go, they're my favorite.
They are, yeah. Just throw them in with some spuds and some carrots, and yeah.
You guys are making jokes, but everything you're saying is actually true. You do just pull them out of the ground and they go great with spuds and carrots.
This would have been everything you say is actually true would have been a much better tagline for this podcast.
It would, yeah.
Do exactly as we say. I mean, that would work. You'd be dead. Do as I say, not as I don't do as I do. I don't do it, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. If we're anywhere near us, just don't do it.
Don't do the thing. Because I'll talk about it like I know. I mean, who wouldn't do that? I said this, and it's the difference between me and Michelle, one of the many ways in which she comes out like as a better person than I am. She didn't even, I was like, have you, I can't remember what I said. I was like, oh yeah, I've pretended to have read that. And she's like, what? Yeah, that came up in conversation once and I pretended that I read that book. She said, why would you ever do that? That's a good question. I don't know, but I fucking do it all the time.
I've reached a real sort of mid-level of self-awareness here where I'm telling you about the lies I did and you're asking me to reconcile why that happened.
Yeah. Don't slam me for being on the journey here, Michelle. You know, I could have lied to you as well.
I mean, the real answer is if you hang around with a bunch of university wankers, they're probably lying about having read it too. Yeah. So you're fine.
I'm the only one who's being honest about having lied about Radius.
Yeah. Are we describing a bit of a Lady Chatterley's Lover situation?
Oh, Gavin, exactly. I do think we need
plot of Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Absolutely. Are you describing that situation? Indeed we are. Probably, I'd say, in all likelihood, yeah. I mean, and what do you do if someone challenges you on it? You know it's never come up.
That would obviously be a Lady Chatterley's Lover situation.
Who was pretending to have seen all those foreign films at that party last night? Quiet, you fool. It might have been you. Just pay the bill and we'll release some more endorphins. Oh, well. It's fun to be a wanker. And if you're self-aware about it, it makes you feel like you're not quite as bad as the other wankers, but actually, you're worse.
You're worse, yeah. You choose not to be, yeah.
I think we've just probably, like, it's like this podcast could go 3 hours and we'd have got nowhere There'd be no benefit. We would have been nowhere further along the line of understanding where things are or what they should be. We don't know how to cook the lobsters. We don't know it, and we're not going to find out anytime soon.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather not know at this point.
No, at this point, I think from your perspective and that of the lobster, I think you're better off. I can firmly give Bitburger 0.0 a gentleman's 5.
Mm.
Now, with the usual caveat that I'm sure that because most of taste is habit, that if I just got used to this being the beer I drink, I'd be giving it a 10 next week. But right now it's a 5. And certainly when you take into account that it's the price of a regular can of Bitburger, which you can't convince.
You can't justify.
Maybe it could be justified, but I've yet to hear a justification by anyone I believe. I've heard lots of reasons and they're all bad.
They can be true and bad.
Yeah.
The Lervig Norris pineapple is really tasty. It's like an 8. Yeah. It's just nice. Yeah, it's just nice.
I actually think I did see, might not have been that one, but there were some Lervig nabs in Redmond, so I may try and get my grubby little mitts on them for next week to see what we can do. And Gavin, what about that juice box? What does that get?
Juice box, Ribena strawberry, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's hard to beat, isn't it?
And drinking from a juice box, extremely fun.
Yeah.
Would recommend that.
Yeah, national service, need to bring it back. These middle-aged kids these days fucking drinking juice boxes, you know? Never done a hard day's graft in their life. Neither have I, but by saying this, it implies that I have. Never was in the Army Reserves, but I always wanted to be. It was always the dream, you know?
That's famously, I remember you always talking about
Be in the Army Reserves. It was a big thing. And you know, the Irish Rangers are actually some of the most well-regarded soldiers in the world.
All right, bye.
I don't know how that affects you, Wobbly Sean, but there you go. Gotta get the protein in. Yeah, that's about the end of that. Jack, good luck with your protein, with your lobster protein. At least 48 hours in the sun, they would benefit from.
We are unfortunately picking them up off the pier morning of.
Quick zap in the microwave, then leave them in the sun.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, to defrost them.
Just speed it up. Speed up the process.
Yeah. And if you've got any partially opened, warm canned mushrooms, and if you sort of saute it in that would be nice. You got a real creamy botulistic feel. I think that'd be good. That's what Thermidor is, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
Less is more, gentlemen.
Less is more.
Really only leaves us one thing to cheers to the real theme of the day. To Thermidor!
To Thermidor! Clink.
All right. Happy Westing. Gavin, leave the office. Go home to that lovely wife of yours. And kick that other fella out. He's only allowed to be there during the day.
Yeah, during the day.
We had a deal.
See you later, fellas.
If I learned anything. That ought to hold those SOBs.